بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble prophet, his household, and his noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. This is part 13 on the creed of the rejectionists, Rafida Shia, with respect to the Sunnah. And this will focus upon their position towards the narrations from the companions. May Allah be pleased with all of them. After we came to know that the 12 Imamite Shia restricted itself in a narrow path, meaning in terms of the narrations, restricting that to the household of the Prophet ﷺ, and did not give any consideration to the people of knowledge from amongst them. Rather, they considered others who were not known for their ilm to take from, considered them from to them as source. Even some who are absent, even those who are children, doubted in terms of their existence, and attributing that under the fold of the household, to the extent that they considered what is reported from them as the same level of being reported from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They deprived themselves from a great source of knowledge and faith, and that is the narrations of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, who attained and won the company of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and witnessed the revelation and knew the interpretation, and Allah praised them and His Messenger praised them. One of their contemporaries from the rejectionists is the contemporary fact, in fact a major reference from the contemporary ones, Muhammad Hussein Al-Kashif Al-Ghata. He said that in the affirmation of their madhab of this Shia, they don't consider from the Sunnah, meaning the prophetic traditions, except that which is, quote, authentic, end of quote, from the way of Ahlul Bayt, from the way of the household of the Prophet. As to what is reported by, this is still his words, by Abi Huraira wa Samura bin Jundub wa Amr ibn al-As and the like, meaning from the companions, فَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ عِنْدَ الْإِمَامِيَّةِ مِقْدَارُ بَعُوضًا. They don't have with the Imamite a level of a mosquito. A level of a mosquito. This is in his book, Aslu Shia wa Usulu, page 79. So here, and this is still even very deceptive to the common Muslims, because he's saying they take only that which is authentic from the ways of Ahlul Bayt. Someone who doesn't know of their reality of this sect may come to conclude that the reference with them is the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which came from the way of Ahlul Bayt. While in fact they consider the single imam from the 12 Imamites like the Messenger, meaning does not speak of his own, and his saying is like the saying of the Messenger, Allah and his Messenger. And that's why it is rare to find the sayings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their books, because what? They were sufficed as to what came to them from their imams. Similarly, his saying Ahlul Bayt, this means some of them, because not all the household are fit to be a way for narration. Why? Because Ahlul Bayt, the household, are not all of them imams. So the narration from the offspring of Fatima, from the offspring of Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu, is not considered in terms of the narrations. Why? Because not all the household to them are imams. Meaning, after the Hassan, from his offspring, they are not imams to them. And that's why this sect, the 12 Imamite sect of the Rafida Shia, consider that anyone who claims the imam other than the 12 Imamites so anyone who considers the imam from the household other than the 12 Imamites, they consider him a kafir. So the wording of this kashif al-ghata is deceptive. Why? Because this book which he wrote is a propaganda book to Shianize the Muslim world. So therefore, when we come to know now that the 12 Imamites mean the household restricted to them, to the 12 Imamites, and that the one amongst the 12 Imamites, the 12 Imams who met the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was at the age of distinction and discrimination, was Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now just imagine, would it be possible for Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu for relating the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in its entirety for all the generations to come, when he is not with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in most times, most of the times? For in fact, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to travel and delegate Ali, as in the case, for example, in the expedition of Tabuk. And also Ali used to travel, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam staying in Medina. For in fact, the Messenger sent him to Al-Yemen. And also he sent him with Abu Bakr when he sent him to the people of Mecca. Similarly, what about the situation of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his private homes, which are restricted in terms of relating what goes on there to his wives, the mothers of the believers? And this is from the secrets of the fact that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam married this number of them. So, to conclude therefore, it is not possible for Ali radiallahu anhu to be sole in terms of relating the entirety of the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So how come then they say that they don't accept that which comes from his way? Restricting the Sunnah to one necessitates missing the quality of consecutiveness in relating the Sharia, in relating the Quran itself even. You see this point? In addition, most of the Muslim lands, where most of the lands where Islam reached, the knowledge came to them from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from ways other than Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this was obvious in terms of the Medina and Mecca. Similarly, Al-Sham, Greater Syria and Basra in Iraq, they did not relate from Ali except very few. Most of his knowledge, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was delivered in Al-Kufa. They knew of the Quran and the Sunnah before Uthman took the Khilafah, not to mention Ali, who came after. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And the Fuqaha, the jurists of the Medina, they learned the deen during the Khilafah of Umar. And Mu'adh taught the deen to the people of Yemen. And his stay in Yemen was more than that of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And that's why the people of Yemen narrated from Mu'adh more than they related from Ali. And Shuraih and others from the senior successors from the Tabi'een, they took knowledge from Mu'adh bin Jabal. And when Ali came to Al-Kufa, Shuraih was a judge already there. And Shuraih was Ubayd al-Salmani. So, the knowledge of Islam spread in the lands before Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Al-Kufa. And this is greatly researched by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in his book Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 4, page 139. And most of those who related from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were from other than his household, not to mention Ali alone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, As'ad bin Zurara to Medina to invite people to Islam and to teach the Ansar, the helpers, to teach them the Quran and to teach them the fiqh in the deen. And he sent Al-Ala bin Al-Hadrami ila Al-Bahrain to Bahrain in the same manner. And he sent Mu'adh and Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari to Yemen and sent others to Mecca. So what is the saying of those who claim that none report from him except a man from his household? Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that the narrations from Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu mounted to 586 narrations from them. There were 50 authentic narrations. This is reported by Ibn Hazm, volume 4, in his book Al-Fasl, volume 4, page 213, and in Minhaj al-Sunnah by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, volume 4, page 193. So is the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam restricted to this which they talk about? They confess to something which is really interesting, that from the knowledge of halal and haram and from the rituals of Hajj did not reach them except through the way of Abi Ja'far. And this indicates that they didn't receive that from Ali. And that their former ones were worshipping in ways according to the Sahaba. Yet, where is the amazing thing? The amazing thing is that the Shia ruled that anyone who takes from other than their Imam, they attributed shirk to him. As in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 377. So do they consider their former ones, those who came before them, who took the halal and haram and the Hajj manasik from the people before Abi Ja'far, are they considered mushriks? They said, كُلُّ مَا لَمْ يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الْأَئِمَّ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ. Anything which does not come from the Imams is falsehood. This is in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 399. And this is a great transgression against the Sharia of the leaders of the prophets and messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was related to us from the early generations, exemplified in the purified Sunnah with which the Muslims worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when they restricted their taking from ways to Ali only, and they didn't have much of the knowledge related from Ali, to the extent now we know that the knowledge of halal and haram, they don't have anything from that from Ali as they admitted, then the Shia established foundations to close the gap. You know the foundation is? What would you expect the foundation to be, given now the circumstances that you heard about? The knowledge is a few from Ali. Most of the halal and haram was to be taken not from Ali. So how this is going to be reconciled with their rulings that to take from other than Ali is shirk and falsehood? So they have to close the gap. You know how they close the gap? By attributing so many narrations to Ali, and Ali is innocent from them. So the foundation is lying. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said in Sir A'lam al-Nubala, volume 4, 307, ما كذب على أحد من هذه الأمة ما كذب على أحد من هذه الأمة ما كذب على علي. No lies were made on behalf of anyone and attributed to anyone except that which had been attributed on Ali, to Ali. And that's why Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, classified the Rafida into three categories. He said, a category who heard some hadith. So they put these hadith and then added and omitted. Second category, those who didn't hear anything. So they lie and attribute their lies to Ja'far as-Sadiq. And they say, Ja'far said. And this is abundant in the books of the rejectionists. The third category are the ignorant ones. They say what they want, which is permissible to be said in accordance with their intellect. They consider the intellect to be the reference.
And that's why you find strange fatwa coming from their so-called Ayatullah. The latest in our times, the latest in a series, is this so-called fatwa of Cincinnati or Sistani.
Who, when asked about permissibility of having anal sexual intercourse with the wife, he said, it is permissible if the wife permits it. مع الكراهة, with it being disliked. Is this a deen? And when I confronted one of the Rafida about this, in fact today, this person said, well, this is a matter of fiqh. Fiqh? Where is the proof? When we know the proof is to the contrary. And then they resorted to a lie. This person said, you know what he said? He said, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a'udhu billah, did that. This is the contradiction and the lie. First, the lie that this is a lie. Second, since when you take from Umar, whom you curse and you consider as kafir, so making lies and attributing these lies to Ali is so abundant, to the extent that you cannot be sure concerning any narration. And that's why the people of Sahih, scrutinize it. And Al-Bukhari and Muslim takes the ahadith of Ali from his household, when reported from his household, like his sons Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, and like Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, and like his writer Ubaidullah bin Abi Rafa, or Ashab ibn Mas'ud and others like Ubaidah al-Salmani wal-Harith al-Taymi wa Qais bin Abbad and the like. Those are trustworthy and reliable in that which they relate from Ali. The books of Shia admit that such lies attributed to Ahlul Bayt exist. So this author of Bihar al-Anwar, volume 2, 246, relates and attributes to Ja'far al-Sadiq that people got obsessed in lying upon us. And that many people used to come to Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq, ignorant ones, come and leave, and then go out and say, حدثنا Ja'far. Ja'far ibn al-Sadiq narrated to us. And they, according to this reference in Rijal al-Kashi, page 208, 209, and Bihar al-Anwar, 25, page 302 and 303. They narrate narrations that are clear lies, fabricated, and attribute them to Ja'far al-Sadiq. And rip people off, take money. And that's why some of the people of knowledge said, no one had lied upon anyone more than what had been put from lies and attributed to Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq, and he is free from that. This is stated, and this is very important, stated by Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 4, page 143. And that's why when you open these books and you see them giving you so-called references, they attribute that to Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq, Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq, Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq. Here, this put them in a real dilemma. They accepted these narrations of these liars, and they turned away from the narrations of the companions. Not only that, they even considered reliable those who used to come to Ja'far and take from him. And they said that these number around 4,000, and that some of the Imamite scholars went to the conclusion that they are all reliable without exception, meaning those who used to come to Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq and leave. While in other reports, they attribute to him that these people used to make lies on his behalf, or lying for him, or about him. He used to complain. From these 4,000, in Usul al-Kafi, volume 2, page 242, it is reported that he, Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahimahullah, considered only 17 from them. 17? While others considered them all, 4,000. The question is, why did the 12 Imamite Shia turn away from the narrations, from taking from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This goes to the early innovation invented by Ibn Saba, who said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam trusted Ali. He is the trustee of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the companions did not execute this and thus give him the Khilafah. So accordingly, the 12 Imamite took a position that the companions exited the fold of Islam, and they don't make any exception except few, which may not exceed the fingers on your hand, as will come. You know what? The honor bestowed upon the companions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his praise of them for their companionship, for their jihad in the cause of Allah, for their sacrifices, for them being early believers, exerting their souls and what they beloved most, and leaving their wealth and their families and their lands and go to spread the Islam in the world. All of that was not even considered. Yet The other amazing thing is that the rejectionists, claim that anyone who claims to have seen their awaited imam who did not exist to begin with is reliable and trustworthy. Al-Mamqani, one of their contemporary ayat. You see, the Shia like these big titles. He said, the honor of a person seeing the proof, meaning their absent imam, after his absence, then we take from his relation, from what he relates, and we consider that he has reached a level in terms of the reliability higher than the level of trustworthiness necessitated for a man relating a narration. This is in his book, Tanqih al-Maqal, volume 1, 211. Now, why then they don't take the same ruling concerning the companions of the Messenger and consider the honor of meeting him and being with the Rasul of Hidayah, the Rasul of Guidance as a proof for their trustworthiness and reliability? Isn't the Messenger greater than their awaited Imam whose existence is doubtful even to some of the Shia of his times? Then how about all these years now? All these centuries? Isn't it this the plain contradiction? So, a man purified for just claiming that he saw a non-existing imam. In fact, this should be taken as dalil, evidence that he is a liar, while they insult the messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the sin, quote unquote, to the Shia of the sin, quote unquote, to the Shia regarding the companions, for which they rejected their narrations, is that because they, quote, denied the text that Ali is the trustee of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the gravest matter to them. Because anyone who denies the imama of any single one of their imams, even the absent one who is claimed, then he is to them is Iblis. As stated by their so-called Saduq ibn Babawayh al-Qummi in his book Ikmaluddin, page 13. So therefore, what is the criteria? The criteria is the belief in their imams. This is the criteria. This is the criteria for acceptance and for rejection. Because to them, this imam is the origin, foundation for faith and for kufr, as we will explain. If this foundation is true, if this criteria is true and clear, and to this extent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mentioned this in his book and would have made that clear to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Jibreel asked him about what constitutes true faith and what constitutes Islam. And this matter would have been a matter of consensus amongst the Muslims. So would it be imaginable therefore for any intellectual person to think that the ummah generation after generation from the companions and those who succeeded them on goodness are ignorant of this most important pillar of faith, or they are in agreement to denounce? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger would not have left the ummah, the best ummah ever brought to mankind, without perfecting their deen and making Islam known to them. There is nothing of the sort that comes
to be even closest to falsehood. It's a myth. Now, did they apply this criteria on everyone other than the Sahaba? Meaning, did they turn other narrations by other than the companions? The fact is that they didn't turn down narrations of some of those who even deny some of their imams from the Shia. Take for example one of their subsects known as Al-Fathiyya. Some of the reporters of Al-Fathiyya, Abdullah bin Bakir, and take also one of their subsects known as Al-Waqifa, who denied some of their imams. Like Sama'a bin Mahran, also from another subsect known as An-Nawusiyya. All these three subsects deny some of the 12 Imamites, yet despite of that they count some of their narrators as trustworthy and reliable. From them, for example, just for documentation, Muhammad bin Walid al-Khazzar, Muawiyah bin Hakim, Musaddiq bin Sadaqa, Muhammad bin Salim bin Abdul Hamid. Al-Kashi referred to them as, these are Fathiyya. And from the most honorable scholars and jurists and trustworthy people, and Al-Hasan bin Ali bin Faddal, Ali bin Hadid bin Hakim, Amr bin Sa'id al-Madiani, all from the Fathiyya subsect. Abu Khalid al-Sijistani, Ali bin Ja'far al-Marwazi, Uthman bin Isa, Hamza bin Bazir, all from the Waqifa subset. Yet despite of that, they considered them trustworthy and reliable, and their narrations took them. They didn't even consider that these people denied their imams. In fact, they were considered these subsects as anyone of their followers who die, then his abode will be in hell, as in Rijal al-Kashi, page 456. They considered this subsect members, the members of the subsect of the Waqifa, they consider they يَعِيشُونَ حَيَارًا وَيَمُّتُونَ زَنَادِقًا. They live in perplexity and they die as heretics. This is in Rijal al-Kashi, page 456. And they said about them, فَإِنَّهُمْ كُفَّار مُشْرِكُونَ زَنَادِقَ. They are kafirs, mushriks, heretics, as in Rijal al-Kashi, volume 456. Yet despite all of that, their narrations are acceptable. While they turn down and reject all the narrations of the companions. Isn't this from plain contradiction and following desires? These subsects explicitly deny the imama of some of their imams. Well, for the sake of argument, treat them, quote, equally as the companions whom you claim they denied the Khilafah of Ali. Well, we don't believe in this and we know that this is a false. But just for the sake of argument, why don't you differentiate between them? This is plain desire, bigotry, and partisanship, which blinded their shuyukh, and so they preferred to follow them, and so they were deprived from the true sources of knowledge. And yet we know, is there, can we just think of the comparison between these liars of these subsects, can we compare them to the those whom the Prophet ﷺ praised from his companions, those whom Allah praised in his book, and they turned them down? Contradictions, even in their books, which contain all these plain contradictions, you find certain things which will make you amazed. Like one report in the book of the Shia, Usul al-Kafi, volume 165, in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 2, 228, when Abi Abdullah was asked about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said they were trustworthy in their relating from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was asked, were they liars or not? He said they were trustworthy and spoke the truth in what they related from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba are on no need of that after the praise of Allah and His Messenger to them. But we take this as just evidence to say, to make it clear to those who have still some intellect from amongst them, and for the people of As-Sunnah not to be swayed by the deceptive statements of their leaders in the past and their contemporary ones in our times regarding the reality of this sect. So they take by those whom they consider as mushriks and as kafirs and heretics and perplexed because they deny the imamah of some of the 12 imamites, yet they take from their narrations and they consider them trustworthy, and they leave whom Allah and His Messenger praised. We seek refuge in Allah from deviation. This brings the end to this part on the position of this deviant sect regarding the narrations from the companions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.